This is Hound Pound Sports Talk, everybody, alongside Sam Wiederhoft and Brady Klein. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. We have the latest in Greyhound football, and it's some good material, I must tell you. Last time we were with you was 2 weeks ago before the sectional matchup against Noblesville. They took care of those guys and then moved on to win the sectional championship against Fishers last week. A great performance. And then tomorrow, they travel to Homestead High School in Fort Wayne. That should be a pretty good matchup, guys.
It really will be. It'll be one of the toughest matchups to predict, Ashley, because these two teams have only played twice in their careers. They're one in 1998, one in 2006, I believe so. But in watching film and scouting all these teams, it's going to be a really tough matchup. Homestead's a very tough team up north.
Yeah, these guys have split the series, actually. Homestead won one in 1998, and I believe we won the one in 2006, or yep. It was flipped, I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's going to be a close game, I believe. Homestead's been playing a lot of competition up north, and we've been sticking down in the mix, so I think it'll be a fun game in regionals.
Traditionally, the Carmel Greyhounds have played Fort Wayne Carroll over the last couple years in the regional matchup, but Homestead, they lost to them in the regular season, but they did win in the postseason, so a new opponent for Carmel, so that should make for an interesting game. But let's recap the sectional so far. Let's move back to that Noblesville game. That was a great win, Brady.
It really was, and that game, I mean, the Greyhounds really exploded early. They won that one. They won that one very easily, actually. And watching, they had a little bit of struggles in the first half. Had some injuries going on throughout that game, but everyone really seemed to recover very well. And that was probably one of the best played games that we've seen the Greyhounds have all season long.
45-29 victory. Our offense really exploded, and our starting defense basically let up 0 points. I believe Hebert was giving the twos and threes a chance to get in some playing time, and they let up a few points. But yeah, our starting defense looked great. Our offense came out firing, and it was overall a great game to start off the playoffs.
The offense certainly looked great in the first half, and so did the defense. I believe it was 24-0 at halftime, and then an early touchdown in the second half. They went up 31-0. And then Noblesville started to creep back in. It was actually 31-15 at one point, and they had the ball off of an onside kick. But Carmel was able to hold on and end up getting the win 45-29. Their offense looked really good in that game, Sam.
Yeah, Victor was connecting with Walker. I believe they had a connection for a touchdown. And that's really been the key throughout this whole season is how many times Victor can find Jalen Walker open. He tried to do that in the Fishers game, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, and it didn't really work out for him. But I think, you know, Jalen Walker really played great. The offense was awesome. The running game was good. It was just overall a great game to start off playoffs.
Speaking of Jalen Walker and that receiving core, Sam, why do you think this receiving core has been so effective? Is it just because they're athletic, or do you think there's something in the scheme that allows them to get open?
Well, they're very athletic, and you know, I think it's just basically their athletic ability. They're able to get open, but Victor was able to find them is the real key. And we've seen him hit Jalen Walker, Ethan Merriweather, double covered. But I think that route where Jalen Walker just goes straight to the end zone on that streak has really been effective. Not in the Fishers game, but in previous games, that route was really effective, and Victor has been able to find his receivers very well, and I just think it's their athletic ability. They're able to do it. They're able to beat the corners on the outsides, and we've seen it happen.
I'd have to agree that, like you mentioned, that post pattern from Jalen Walker over the middle, I'm not sure if it's a streak, but he sort of alternates between the streak and the post pattern right over the middle. He's just able to outrun the guys, and Victrup is able to key in on the receiver and find him. So that's a testament to Michael Victrup and Jalen Walker for getting open. And Ethan Merriweather has had some spectacular catches this year. Not as many receptions as Jalen Walker, but the athletic ability of those two really makes for a dynamic duo. And then the guys around them, Jared Redifer coming off the bench, oftentimes getting some catches. Marcus Perkins getting a key touchdown against Lawrence Central, a 90-yard run. That's made for an explosive offense. And not to mention the run game, Sam. Tobias Watkins and Steven Watts have been fabulous all year.
Oh, they've been awesome. And that's just kind of, it all works. They have so many tools on that offensive side, and Michael Victor just has so many options. And we saw them in the Fishers game. They were experimenting a little bit with the triple option where Victor would be in the shotgun. He'd have Tobias as a running back and Jalen as a running back, and he'd fake it to either one and then roll out and possibly pitch it. So I think they're really trying to utilize all those tools moving in deeper into the playoffs as we inch toward the state championship. And I really trust Victor. I think he knows what to do with the ball. And, you know, I think that offense has been really powerful. That's been the key to the Greyhound success.
For you regular listeners, Coach John Hebert was not able to join us today. He's probably getting ready for that matchup against Homestead tomorrow. We will have junior defensive end Britt Berry later on in the show with us, but we're just having a nice discussion right now. Brady wants to join real quick.
Yeah, you're talking about the wide receiver core from the Greyhounds. I think one of the most underutilized players, I know he's classified as a tight end, but I really think that he's incorporated as a wide receiver more in the system is Kurt Raftall. He's really exploded a lot this year, had a great first half of the season, had been slowing down a little bit from the second half as the passing game really died down a little bit in the last later half of the season for the Greyhounds, but Kurt Raftel's really been incorporated a lot more throughout this second half of the season. He's playing very well, good football this year so far.
I'd have to agree. Kurt Raftel over the middle and on those out patterns, he's been great for the Carmel Greyhounds. And the way he's able to catch the ball on the sidelines, he's so tall. He's a basketball player also. He's so tall, he can just jump over guys and grab it, and he has the hands to bring it down. So that's a nice key for the Carmel Greyhounds on the offensive side of the ball. But now let's move to the defense. Last game against Fishers, they won 28-7, and the 7 points for Fishers only coming from a pick six by Fishers star Jeremy Chin. So the defense held them scoreless, Sam. A great performance by them.
Oh, definitely, and especially when your quarterback throws three interceptions and fumbles in his own territory late in the first half. I think that was a great stand by the defense, not allowing any points, only 7 worth of the pick six by Jeremy Chin. But I think it really just says something about the defense and how many batted balls there were by those defensive backs. I mean, we saw Jake Leach almost have 3 interceptions. And I think the defensive backs in that game were just on it. They were covering the wide receivers really well, and they weren't able to, that quarterback was not able to get any real passes off, and they weren't able to get anything going on offense.
And I think the secondary for the Greyhound defense, like I said multiple times over the last couple weeks, has been the most consistent part of this Greyhound team. They really have had no injuries. The only injury that's really been all season was Nick Maz, and he was only out for 1 or 2 games. But then other players step up. Jacob Abrams has played a huge role. He's stepped up very well. He's done a very good job stepping up for the injured players this year. And only his first year of playing football, he's done a tremendous job. So having all these guys, the defensive backs and the secondary for the Greyhound team, like I said, is the most consistent and the most productive on defense, I believe, for this Greyhound squad.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, Brady, but I will say the defensive line, considering that they're very undersized, and we'll talk with this to Britt later, because he's a defensive lineman, he's a defensive end. But that defensive line, despite being undersized, they've done a nice job this year against the run.
And that's been the best improvement, I believe. Week 1, week 2, week 3, we were getting killed on the run, just up the middle, especially against Center Grove. And now I think that's really improved. Jeremy Chin, not able to get a lot. He's a great running back. He was able to get on the outsides, but up the middle, there was just nothing there because of our defensive line. And I think putting pressure on the quarterback also has been improved. The first couple weeks, I don't think we saw any real pressure on the quarterback. Those quarterbacks were able to get passes off, and now that defensive line is really causing trouble for quarterbacks, and they have to, you know, scramble around and just get the ball off. So that defense has really improved since week 1.
And you mentioned how the defensive line was getting killed in those first few games against the run, Sam, and that contributed to a 1-2 start. But I will say those 2 losses were against 2 great rushing attacks in Center Grove, that triple option team, and then Jeremy Larkin and the LaSalle Lancers in Cincinnati. He's an all-world running back. He really is. And that was just a tough matchup for Carmel to contain him. But they've really improved, and they shut down a great running back from Lawrence Central. I forget his name, but
Jared Doakes.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. Doakes. Thank you for our inside informant on the outside there. But, Jeremy Doakes, he's a great running back, and Carmel was able to handle him really well and get a victory against Lawrence Central. So we're going to take a quick break real quick, but when we come back, we'll have another roundtable discussion for you. And then later on in the show, Britt Berry will join us. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk on WHJE. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, everyone. When we aren't able to have Coach Hebert on or an assistant coach, we bring in our fellow radio staff member and senior safety, Jake Leach. Jake, thanks for joining us.
Boys, it's great to be back. Always a pleasure.
So, Jake, we'll have Britt later on in the show, and the defense had a really strong showing last week against Fishers. Why do you think you were able to be so effective?
Well, I mean, it's been a long season. We've been playing with each other, you know, since June, and most of us have been playing together since freshman year. So it's like the great thing about senior year playoffs is the guys are like so close together. You know, we're finally putting it all together. We've been learning all this stuff for 4 years, you know, playing together. And, you know, when we're able to bring it all together like that, and basically I would say the camaraderie is how we're able to play so well. I mean, I think the Fishers performance just shows how well we've come together as a unit this year.
Coach Heber was quoted saying that this Carmel team has let up more points than any other Carmel team in the past 10 years. And at the Fishers game, we turned the ball over 4 times, but they weren't able to get any points. So what do you think has been the biggest improvement since week 1 from this defense, not allowing anything against Fishers last time?
That's tough. And I would say, like, you know, I've seen that stat saying that we've given up more points than any other Carmel defense in the past decade. But I mean, you also have to look at our schedule. We've played some of the best offenses in the country. I mean, so that's tough to look past. But, you know, since week one, it's like we've put in new schemes. We've kind of thrown some schemes out that we didn't like. And it's the same thing I said earlier. It's just like you come together by the end of the season, and that's what you want. You want your defense playing its best football in the playoffs. So and that's kind of what's happening.
And you said the bond between all the players. What group of players specifically do you think has really risen up as a standout group of players that really weren't expected to be this year?
I mean, I'm going to be biased here and say it's the DBs. We're all undersized, you know, not that crazy athletic. And, you know, I think the fans get behind the no-fly zone a lot, and that's kind of like where our defense is based off of. You know, it's like we bring a lot of energy. We're bringing the big hits, getting the interceptions, you know. But also, like, you know, you got guys at the linebacker spot who are stepping up, like Jack Vandermortel. I mean, he's a sophomore, and I think a lot of people forget that because he's playing like a senior, which is amazing to see. So,
and you said the defensive back core was undersized, and like I mentioned, the defensive line is also undersized. Maybe except for the linebackers, the entire defense is pretty undersized. Yet you guys continue to put out great performances. But switching to another note, this next week against Homestead, it's a long bus ride up to Fort Wayne, and we're going to ask Britt about this. But something we've all been wondering, how does a bus ride like that actually affect the start of the game?
It's tough because we haven't had too many games where we've gone on a two-hour bus ride. I think back to the Cincinnati-LaSalle game, and we came out and played horrible in that first half. So, I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that it doesn't affect us at all because it probably does, but it's hard to say. I mean, it depends on our attitude on the bus ride. If guys are joking around the whole time and not really focused, then it'll show in the first half. I mean, you'll probably be able to tell in the first quarter how our bus ride went, you know. So, I mean, I'd like for the guys to be focused, you know, maybe put in some headphones, take a nap. So, I mean, I think we'll be all right.
This Homestead team throughout the season lost three games, but they didn't really play the competition that the MIC kind of has. So how are you and other players staying focused on this week without looking forward to the next 2 weeks?
I mean, I think it's just that simple. We just stay focused on this week. It's like, you know, everyone at school is going to be telling you, you know, oh, Homestead, that's going to be an easy win and stuff. But, you know, you, as an athlete, you have to learn to not let that get to you, because as soon as you settle down and relax and look at the next week, you know that that's when you get beat by teams that you don't expect to be beaten by.
And for you watching film throughout the week and the last week or so on Homestead, who are some players and positions that we can look out for in this Homestead game?
They've got two great receivers, Ben Skowronek and Austin Kreider. They're both, you know, Division I talent. Skowronek's going to Northwestern. They've got a junior quarterback who's athletic. He can run. He can pass. Our coaches have been telling us all week this could be one of the best passing teams we've seen all season. So that's exciting for me. It looks like it's going to be a great challenge in the defensive backfield.
Do you think the great passing attacks you faced in the MIC could help prepare you for a passing attack from Homestead?
Absolutely. I mean, we see athletes like no other athletes in the country in the MIC. So we feel prepared. We're ready for it. And, you know, we're looking forward to that challenge.
Sort of piggybacking off Jack's question from a couple minutes ago about the bus ride, one thing you guys haven't faced this season is the weather like this. It's going to be very cold, low 40s, high 30s. How is that going to affect the play for this game?
I mean, I'm definitely nervous for it because it's been 80 degrees and sunny all week, which is nuts for November. It feels like it's June again. So, I'm a little worried for how we're going to react to that, but you have to understand that Homestead's going to be feeling the same way. I mean, I'm sure the weather up there is about the same as it is here. So, I mean, we're going to dress warm and be ready for that cold weather.
I think I ask you this every week, but what's the energy been like in practice? You guys have just won a whole bunch of games in a row. You're 2-0 in the playoffs. How are the players feeling?
You know, it's like there's a rejuvenated sense of energy because it's like we're sitting here and there's only 8 teams left in 6A playing in the regional game, and we know that it's a blessing that we're still in the playoffs right now and we're still playing football. This is the greatest time to be playing football, and, you know, I think that shows in the locker room. You know, guys are having a great time, but still coming out and working 100%, you know, every practice. So, you know, it's just we look at every day as an opportunity to get better and to continue playing the game we love.
Thanks for joining us again, Jake. Good luck this weekend. Great insight into the sectionals from last week and the previous week, and then this matchup against Homestead tomorrow. Jake, thanks for joining us. And then we're going to take a quick break. Nice feature from, I believe, Jake Leach, you made this, and
yes,
Leo Robleski, another radio staff member. Listen to that. It's about 8 minutes long. And when we come back, we'll have Britt Berry with us. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, everyone, alongside Sam Wiederhoft. and Brady Klein. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. We just had Jake Leach on, and Britt Berry will be joining us in just a few minutes. But Jake had some good insight for us on Homestead, and it should be, like I said, an exciting matchup going up to Fort Wayne. And he said the bus ride, it does affect them. It really does. And as an athlete myself, going back to my baseball days, it does affect you sitting there for a while and then getting up there in the bad weather. It'll be interesting to see how that weather specifically affects the passing attack for Carmel.
Yeah, I remember one time during freshman football so long ago, we took an early morning bus ride all the way up to Terre Haute, and it was 27 degrees that morning. Everything was frozen. Everyone's hands were frozen. Everyone's jumping around the sidelines. And that was one of the worst games we played all year because, I mean, a 2 to 3 hour bus ride and then standing in the 25 degree weather, it's terrible, and it's almost impossible to play well to start off the game at least.
I like how you mentioned the LaSalle game too, because remember that bus ride? We had one of the buses actually break down and we stopped at a gas station. But yeah, they just didn't come out like Carmel football again that game. And I know LaSalle is a nationally ranked opponent, and you know they have that great running game, but you know we just didn't look like ourselves in that game, and I think the bus ride has you know, to deal with that. So it'll be interesting to see how we kind of cope with that bus ride this time playing against Homestead.
It'll be interesting to see if the Carmel Greyhounds are able to get off to a fast start. Like I said, the bus ride, that would indicate we won't get off to a fast start and we might start a little bit slow. But if they can get off to a fast start against this Homestead team and Carmel's success in previous regional games, I think that will contribute to possibly a blowout in this game, which is key for Carmel.
Yeah, if you remember last regional game, we played against Fort Wayne Carroll, and that was a home game, and we actually set one of the Carmel High School rushing record per game. It was over 500 yards. Chris Perkins, Shakir Pascal had a huge game. So if we can do that again against Homestead, that'd be awesome. But, you know, it's a road game. That bus ride has to come into it as well. So I think it's going to be a little bit closer.
And one more thing that's also is going to go into a major factor in this game. Every single game the Greyhounds have played this year has been on turf. This game's going to be on grass. That's going to affect the running game a little bit differently. So especially if the weather conditions are what they say they're supposed to be, with a little bit rainy, the field could get a little muddy and could be a little slippery for that running game for the Greyhounds.
That is a great point, Brady. I didn't realize that. Thank you for bringing that up. But that affects the routes of the wide receivers, how they're able to cut. That affects the cuts of the running backs. So if Carmel's offense is able to get going early and get a lot of points on the board, that will enable them to possibly hold on to that lead, because Homestead's offense may struggle with that as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned the start. We've said this every single week. They have to get off to a fast start because that's what they didn't do in the first 3 weeks. And it's been the same for every week. But against Fishers, we were slow. We scored on that first possession. But other than that, the first half was really slow. We only had 7 points. So you know what? If we can get off to a fast start, it'll be great. But if we don't have to panic this time.
Britt Berry is just outside the studio right now, so he'll be joining us in just a few seconds. We're going to take a quick break real quick, and then we'll come right back. Just a short break. We'll come right back with Britt Berry. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. This is Hound Pound Sports Talk alongside Sam Wiederhoff and Brady Klein. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. We have the latest in Greyhound football, and right now we have the latest with Britt Berry. Thanks for joining us, Britt.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And Britt, you're a defensive end on this team. You're starting as a junior, and you seem to have gotten better as the season's gone on. You're 6'6", extremely athletic, and you have a great presence at that defensive end position. And congratulations are in order because IU saw your ability and recently awarded you with a scholarship offer as a junior. What was your reaction when you received that scholarship so early?
Well, I was really excited to be at IU, and all the coaches were really incredible. Coach Wilson and all the coaches just were very welcoming, and I really appreciated their hospitality at IU.
The defense against Fishers did not allow a single point. Their only points was Jeremy Chin, run back for 6. But how do you think the defense has really improved all year? We asked this to Jake Leach, but Coach Hebert has been quoted to say this Carmel team has allowed more points than any other Carmel team in the past 10 years. So how has this Carmel team improved since week one?
Well, we've been doing a lot of drills that we normally do all the time, and I feel like everybody's just leaning on each other for help, and we really rely on our teammates during the game, and we know that we got their back and they got ours, and we've just been playing well as a team and working hard to make it back to state.
Now, we know that you're a dual sport athlete as well, a very good basketball player. What's it like handling, especially this late in the season, football still going on and basketball starting in the next couple weeks or so? How are you able to handle both of the sports going on at the same time?
Well, it is hard, and I think the coaches both do a really good job of communicating that between us, the players, and them. And I just feel like Coach Hetty and Coach Hebert are doing a great job with that. And of course, I'm still focused on football, and when that season is over, the transition will be pretty hard, but we've been doing it for a while, so I should be fine with that.
Speaking of being a dual sport athlete, you play basketball, just like Brady said, and which do you like to play more? Both are great sports, but which do you love more?
I like whatever's in season. I tend to focus on the sport that I'm usually playing, so whatever's in season is what I'm focused on.
So you'd say it's about even, 50-50?
About, yeah.
All right, focusing toward Homestead this week, what kind of threats do they have on offense? What are you looking for from a defensive line standpoint from their offense?
Well, they do have some big tackles. One of their tackles is 6'4", 300 pounds, which is nothing we really haven't seen, but they're still big nonetheless. And then they have a really good wide receiver in Skronik, and he's going to Northwestern, as many people know, and we just need to keep our eye on him as well as our quarterback as well.
Now, I ask this question all the time, almost every single show. You are the starting defensive end. You're going against a lot of the JV guys and the scout team guys. Who are some scout team players for the Greyhounds that have really stood out to you this season?
So we moved the freshmen up, too, as well, and they are just working as hard as ever, and they're just giving everybody a great look. Jordan Walker is playing scout team quarterback, and he's doing a really good job on reads and everything like that, and pretty much the entire JV offensive line has just given us great looks for the entire year and really gotten us better.
We just talked to Jake Leach, a safety, about the performance last week against Fishers and a great defensive performance holding them scoreless. But I'd like to hear a defensive lineman's perspective. How were you able to hold a great Tiger rushing attack scoreless in that game?
Well, we just did our assignment, really. We just played physical up front, tried to get as much push back as we could, and we all just were on the same page on the front line. We tried to get them back into the backfield as far as possible so we could close those running lanes, and that was important for the running game to be able to be stopped. And just keeping him contained, Chin, and all the running backs at Fishers was very important for us.
How do you think the senior leadership of linebackers like Noah Burks and Cameron Hunt and Jake Leach and Alex Higgins, all those guys on the defensive back, how do you think that leadership has kind of prepared you to take that role next year?
It's been great. I mean, I've looked up to leaders on this team for so long now, and it's just a good model to look after. Like guys like Noah Burks, like you said, and Alex Akins, and all those guys have a really good work ethic, and they work day in, day out really, really hard. So it's really good to watch these guys and play with them.
Now, you've been a starter on this Greyhound team for 2 years, a little, quote-unquote, less experience than some of the other guys. Obviously, you have a lot of experience, but what has been your favorite moment being a starter for this Greyhound team over the last 2 years?
Well, my favorite moment so far, and hopefully there's a lot more to come, but my favorite moment was playing in the state championship last year as a sophomore. It was really cool. The environment was crazy. A lot of Greyhounds were there supporting us, and I'm going to make sure we can get back there as soon as possible.
Now, talking about the state championship, that's in a few weeks, but we still have Homestead. How are you and other players trying to stay focused on this opponent? These guys have lost 3 games, but they've played a lot of teams up north. So how are you staying focused on this opponent that doesn't really have the same competition as the MIC?
Well, that's one thing that we've talked about as a team, and our motto pretty much this offseason is, or postseason, is one more week, and that's what we're striving for. One more week, leave the past behind, and focus on who's next.
And you previously mentioned last year playing in the state championship as a sophomore and unfortunately losing that game. This team certainly has the capability to win a state championship this year. Why do you think this team is different or special this season rather than last?
Both teams have just been amazing. But I think this year we have a lot more strive to get back to the state because these seniors have been through 2 losses in the state championships and some juniors as well. We just want to get back there and play as hard as we can for every week that we have left. And that just pushes us to work harder and get better every single day.
Now, we asked Jake Leach this question as well. The bus ride going up to Homestead is 1 hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours. How are you guys going to cope with that long ride?
It's a long ride. We've done it before. Like when we played at Cincinnati against LaSalle, that was a very long bus ride. But we just kind of relax, you know, keep our minds right. And then once we start getting closer to game time and where we're going to be, we start focusing in and really getting locked into the game.
And we ask this question to players every single week, but on that bus ride or in the locker room, what are you listening to try and stay dialed in, get focused for the game? What's on that pregame playlist, man?
I listen to a lot of stuff. I listen to a lot of classic rock and some rap here and there, but I like a lot of Led Zeppelin and songs like that.
Now, we've heard a variety of answers. Michael Victrop actually listens to classical music, which is sort of surprising. We've heard hip-hop and rap from Jake Leach, a bunch of variety of music. But focusing on the field, field aspect of football, the important stuff, unlike Sam's question there. Homestead has a grass field, and that can affect the game drastically for the offense. Do you think that plays to the advantage of the defense being a grass field?
Well, they actually just resurfaced their field. It's turf now, so...
Brady, you were wrong. You were wrong.
They had it as grass last year. They went to turf this year, apparently.
So Carroll's grass as well.
So apparently that...
They went to turf last year, this offseason.
That nullifies our entire discussion with Jake and the question I just asked for Britt. So I guess it won't really affect the offense at all. It'll actually help them a little bit.
Change your question to the cold.
How will the cold affect this game and possibly the rain?
Well, rain and cold are never a good mix playing football, but I just think it's the tougher team that will win. And we've been put in terrible situations like last year in the Fishers game. Who knew that blizzard was going to come, but we just fought through it.
And I mentioned how the grass could potentially be an advantage for the defense. Do you think the cold and the rain is an advantage for the defense?
Yeah, a slippery ball is one that's pretty hard to hold on to. So we'll have to rip the ball out and try and force a lot of turnovers.
And what's been your favorite atmosphere to play in this whole year? We've played in University of Cincinnati Stadium. We've played a lot of places this year. What's been your favorite this year?
Probably playing at Cincinnati. That was incredible. All the team was really excited to play, and it was really a good atmosphere to play in. There was a lot of fans. Cincinnati LaSalle had a ton of fans there, and Carmel did as well, so it was really cool to play in.
All right, Britt, thank you so much for joining us here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. A nice discussion with him and Jake Leach earlier. We're going to take a quick break. We'll recap those interviews when we come back. Britt, good luck this weekend. Hopefully the Carmel Greyhounds can get a win. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. It is 10:45 on this Thursday morning, and you're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. Brady Klain, Sam Wiederhoft, and Jack Kaiser here. Britt Berry gave us more great insight to this game against Homestead. Like we mentioned, it should be a great matchup. Tune in at a different game time this time, 7:30, not 7. So we'll start the pregame around 6:30 to 7. In between there, we'll let you know on social media. But tune in for pregame then. I'll be hosting that. And then Sam will have the call at 7:30. Brady will be color. I'll be doing sideline reports at halftime and after the game. I'm excited for tomorrow, guys.
I really am, and especially going against some of these top receivers that Homestead has one of their great receivers going to Northwestern, and their quarterback, only a junior and a very good quarterback as well. I think this is going to be a great game. We talked to Britt Berry and Jake Leach. I think Leach is going to have a huge game on this one, and part of that no-fly zone that has become sort of a staple for this Greyhound defense over the last couple years. I think they're really going to have a step up and have a humongous game this weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun game. I think Carmel comes out with a victory. Just Homestead hasn't played the kind of competition that Carmel has been dealing with for years now, and they just don't have the same type of program. But I'm really laughing right now because I'm looking at Homestead's schedule. Every single team they've played is Fort Wayne and then something. Fort Wayne, something different. It's funny. They're all the same name.
Their conference. We're in the MIC. They're in the Fort Wayne, whatever it's called. I think it's the SAC or whatever. So,
well, it better be Fort Wayne something.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's the same thing here in Indianapolis. They just don't say Indianapolis Warren Central.
Yeah.
It's just Fort Wayne Northrop or Fort Wayne Carroll or whatnot. So all the teams have Fort Wayne, just like you said, before their school name.
And when you're up there, you don't say, oh, we're playing against Fort Wayne Carroll. But it's like, oh, we play against Carroll this weekend. We play against Northrop. We play against Homestead. So that's...
Guys, still new to the area. This is my third year, but I'm still new.
I thought about that too, and that's interesting. But like you said, you mentioned that they haven't played the same caliber of competition. So let's segue right into our predictions for this game. I really think that Carmel, because they've played the better competition in the MIC, actually rated one of the top conferences in the country. The tougher competition and the ability to run the ball in this weather. Homestead mainly a passing team. I think the no-fly zone could have a huge game. They'll be tested, but the rain will help them out a lot. And Carmel being able to run the ball with Tobias Watkins and Steven Watts, that'll help them get out to an early lead and maintain that lead. And I think they'll win big. I've got the Carmel Greyhounds winning this one 42-14.
I'm going to have to go with the Greyhounds score that you had on that one. I think the Greyhounds are going to win 42-21. Because of the weather conditions, yes, Carroll is a pass-oriented team, but I think depending on the status of the rain during the game, the cold really won't matter for that passing. It might make your hands a little bit stiffer, tougher to catch, but I think Fort Wayne will get up or they won't get up quick. They'll get a fight quick for the Greyhounds. I think the Greyhounds are going to win 42-21, so the Greyhounds will double their score.
A little bit off topic here.
Of course.
Homestead, October 2nd, plays Fort Wayne Wayne. I just want to say that. Fort Wayne Wayne. But you know what, Carmel, the kind of competition they've been playing, the run that they've been on for these past 8 games with this win streak, they've just been unstoppable. Victrup was I worried about Victrup last game against Fishers. Threw 3 interceptions, had that huge fumble in Fishers' territory at the end of the first half. Hopefully he can clean that up. Maybe the weather conditions will be a little bit difficult for him to handle with. But I think I still have the Greyhounds winning big on this one. I got the Greyhounds winning, let's say, 49-21.
42-21, your prediction, Brady, was actually the prediction from Kyle Needenreep.
Yep.
The Indy Star reporter for all high school sporting events, football and basketball. So I guess you copied off of him, basically. I'm not sure if you actually read it or not.
No, I actually haven't seen that yet. I just saw that he put out his predictions. I didn't see them yet, though. So I'm guessing that it's pretty similar to what he said. And I'm guessing some of the other games. I'd be excited to see what his prediction for the Center Grove Warren game was.
He picked Warren. 34-31. 34-31, yeah. Hey, it's hard to beat a team twice.
He actually had Avon. I'm not sure who they play. They play Cathedral. He had Avon beating Cathedral also. So a couple upset picks from Kyle Needenreep. But addressing your point, Sam, in the Carmel Greyhounds, I really think the ability to run the ball will help them get up early and not force Michael Victor up to have to pass a ton in this rain, which could lead to some more interceptions like last week. And because Carmel maybe is a little bit more athletic and have some bigger players and played that better competition, they're going to be able to run the ball early. That'll help them get up early, maybe put a few subs in later in the game, get Michael Victrup's confidence back up a little, and that'll lead to an easy blowout win.
You know, 2013, I believe we had a similar route. We traveled up to Fort Wayne Carroll that year, and we beat Fort Wayne Carroll pretty bad. So I don't know. The weather might play into it a little bit. The bus ride, they should be fine, and I think they'll come out firing. And I think this will be a big win for the Hounds moving on to semi-state next week.
This will be a great test for the Hounds going on to semi-state if the Greyhounds do win this one. And not predicting anything, but if Penn were to beat Maryville, which it most likely looks like they will, because Penn, one of the most dominant teams up north, the third or fourth best ranked team in Indiana this year, according to Max Prep. So if the Greyhounds can, they will have to travel up to Penn, so even longer bus ride. So that'd be good to see next week if the Greyhounds adapt to that at all.
I think it's tradition for us to play Penn in semi-state.
Yeah. It is. We play them every single year, and it seemed like we were playing Fort Wayne Carroll a lot in the regional, but Homestead, like I mentioned, a different opponent this year. So regional action. That should be a great, great game tomorrow night. Like I mentioned, tune in at 7 for the pregame. 7:30 is game time. Thanks for listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in 2 weeks on Thursday about 10. Hopefully, Coach Hebert will be able to join us, and hopefully the Carmel Greyhounds will get a win in regional and then semi-state. Stay tuned to 91.3 WHJE.